हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। धन्यवाद।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो दिस इज श्रीमद् भगवतम 1.2.23।
23
त्वं रजस्तमा इति प्रकृते गुणस्तर युक्ता परा पुरुष एका इहास्यरते स्थिति अर्या हरि विरिञ्ची हरति संज्ञानः स्वयं सी तत्र खलु सत्वतनुर्ण्यं शूयुः। The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, the passion, goodness, and ignorance, and just for the material worlds, creation, maintenance and destructions. He accepts the three qualitatively forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness, purport by Srila Prabhupada. That Lord Sri Krishna, by his plenary paths, should be rendered devotional service, as explained above, is confirmed by this statement. Lord Sri Krishna and all his plenary paths are Vishnu Tattva, or the Lordship of Godhead. From Sri Krishna, the next manifestation is Baladev. From Baladev is Sankarsan. From Sankarsan is Narayan. From Narayan, there is second Sankarsan. And from this Sankarsan, the Vishnu Purusa avatars. The Vishnu, or the deity of the quality of goodness in the material world, is the Purusa avatar known as Kshirara Vishnu or Paramatma. Brahma is the deity of righteous passion and Shiva, the ignorance. There are the three departmental heads of the three qualities of this material world. Creation is made possible by Brahma's quality of passion and his endeavor. It is maintained by the goodness of Vishnu, and when it requires to be destroyed, Lord Shiva does it by the Tandava Mantra Nitya. The materialists and the foolish human beings worship Brahma and Shiva respectively. But the pure transcendentalists worship the form of Godness, Vishnu, in his various forms. Vishnu is manifested by his million and billions of integrated forms and separated forms. The integrated forms are called Godhead, and the separated forms are called living entities, or the Jivas. Both the Jivas and Godhead have their original spiritual forms. Jivas are sometimes subjected to the control of material energy, but the Vishnu forms are always controllers of his energy, of this energy. When Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, appears in the material world, he comes to deliver the conditioned living beings who are under the material energy. Such living beings appear in the material world with intentions of being lords, and thus they become entrapped by the three modes of nature. As such, the living entities have to change their material coverings by undergoing different terms of imprisonment. The prison house of the material world is created by Brahma under instruction of the personality of Godhead, And at the conclusion of Kalpa, the whole thing is destroyed by Shiva. But as far as maintenance of the prison house is concerned, it is done by Vishnu as much as the state prison house is maintained by the state. Anyone, therefore, who wishes to get out of this prison house of material existence, which is full of miseries like repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must please Lord Vishnu for such liberation. Lord Vishnu is worshipped by devotional service only, and if anyone has to continue prison life in the material world, he may ask for relative facilities for temporary relief from the different demigods like Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Varuna. No demigod, however, can release the imprisoned living beings from the conditioned life of material existence. This can be done only by Vishnu. Therefore, the ultimate benefit may be derived from Vishnu, the personality of Godhead.
Yes, the Krishna then, as he explained there, how expanding from Krishna to Balaram Sankarshan, to Mahanarayan, to the second Sankarshan, then to the Purusha avatar. So, I think in the TLC, then Srila Prabhupada makes the point that in Vaikuntha, that means in Vrindavan, then Krishna is identifying as the son of, Nanda Baba or Mother Jashoda. Then in Dwarka, then he'll be the son of, Vasudeva and Devaki. In Vaikuntha, then he'll have the mood that I am God, right? But the Purusha avatar, Mahavishnu, his mood is I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Right. So these different moods, then he performs his pastimes. So the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So these two features, then you have the creation. That's the aspect of Hiranyagarbha, right? So when he's the mood when he's breathing out and creating the universes, then that will be the mood of Hiranyagarbha, right? The creator. And then when he breathes in and they're being destroyed, that will be the mood of Sadashiv. But the maintenance of them, that'll be himself as Vishnu. Because, and so in the world, that's the primary creation. Then entering the worlds, then the Lord enters as Garbhodakshay Vishnu, expands as Kiradakshay Vishnu. But then he also expands Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So, Brahma takes care of the creative aspect, Shiva takes care of the destructive, but only Vishnu can maintain. Because when you maintain, you have to maintain with something, right? You maintain something. You have to be able to produce, or you have to be able to supply the elements that can maintain. The creator can't do that. They can work with what's there, right? The destroyer can destroy what's there, but neither the creator or the destroyer produces what is the elements by which creation or destruction are going on. Right? That's the point. The 24 elements by which Brahma will create, Brahma didn't create those. And the elements that Shiva uses to destroy, like fire and, all these things, he didn't create. So the whole point is Vishnu alone, he's the source of all the energies. Therefore, the others are simply doing a particular service by creating or destroying. Right? Because the material world, everything's temporary, so it manifests and then unmanifests. Manifests, unmanifests. Spiritual world, you don't have that because there is everything's eternal, so there's no need of creating or destroying. So this as feature of Hiranyagarbha and Sadashiva are just aspects of fear. They're not necessary there. And so this is the feature that Vishnu, he's supreme because he's supplying everything. Right? Others are simply the like engineers and that, they take all the, all the facility that's given by whoever's the patron for, let's say, construction, then they put that together because the person doesn't supply the bricks or the cement or the sand, and that's supplied by the person who wants to have it built, right? Like that's the aspect as we have to see, is that that's the important distinction there, is that Krishna is the source of everything, therefore only he can maintain it. Others can manipulate it, play around. Like we can take something that's already there and do something. We can take a tree and we can, make it into some furniture, right? But we can't produce trees. You can say, "Oh, I'm planting trees," but you don't produce the seed or the sapling or whatever it is you're used to doing that. You're not producing the water. You're not producing the sun. You're not producing the air. That's all produced by Krishna. So we can simply work with what's already existing. That becomes the special feature, because Krishna provides everything, and then everybody else can work with it. But he's the supplier. That's why then he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Right? Any questions or comments on this?
I'm just wondering, it's quite, it's to some extent simplified version, Raja, Tamas, Sattva, but usually the combination of those gunas bewilders people. It's not so obvious, clear who is Tamas, who is in Sattva, who is in Rajas. So, and also during the daytime or during the time, lifetime of the person is also in the ch in childhood he is more like in tamas, in youth he is in rajas, in old age maybe, who knows, if he has wisdom he may reflect some sattvic qualities. So I'm just wondering how to help people in terms of, while preaching, in terms of those three gunas. Help them
Yeah,
understand.
help them understand. Yeah, the important thing it would be, means the essential thing is going to be, is that the who are they? Because it's like you're helping them, but then the important thing is knowing who they are. So they're the soul, they're not the body. So the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, these are under the modes. The soul is actually transcendental, but by desire, and they identify with these things, and so therefore they identify with what's going on. It's just like, let's say, you can say is, "Oh, but that's external. Why would that happen?" It's just like, let's say you're watching a movie that you have nothing to do with it. It's not you at all. It's not even your body or subtle, nothing. But you're identifying with the characters in the movie and what they do, and you think, "Yes, this is good, they're winning," or, "Oh, this is bad, they're losing," or whatever it is, the guy's hamster died, and, "Oh, it's very bad," all this kind of things. And so that's what the soul is actually doing. The soul is always transcendental, so that's why the point of bhakti is independent. It can always act. Because the person who's, it means it's dependent on the Lord, and because the Supreme Lord is the supreme independent, therefore his energies have that independence. And then the jiva, because they're, a small particle, like Prabhupada said, the separated particle. When you just have an expansion, which is directly the Lord, then you have the Vishnu Tattva. And then when you have the separated particles, that's the jivas. But there's still Brahman, right? So they still have that transcendental position, but it's just covered. That's why I give the example, you have a piece of gold. If it falls in the mud, it's still exactly the same gold. But we're looking at it, "Oh, it's muddy, it's this, it's that," it's because we're looking at the external aspect. But you just simply wash it off, you see the same gold is there. But even if it's covered in mud, it's still the same gold. So the soul is still the same soul that's there, just because because they're covered by material energy. Therefore, they're in that identity. They think that, oh, I'm rich or I'm poor, or everything's going well or it's not well, or, you know, we're feeling tired, you know, as our early discussion and all these kind of things. But the soul is, you know, as I mentioned, there's that verse, you know, a famous verse in the Bhagavatam, that the soul is, you know, as brilliant as the sun and all these different things. That's not just a poetics. That's actually the nature of the soul, right? So when the Dasa Mool, when it's explaining about the, you know, the what is it, ontology of the philosophy, then when it's talking about the living entities, one section is just on the nature of the living entity. Then it talks about when that living entity is conditioned, how they'll act, and when that living entity is not, how they'll act. But one is just on what the actual, you know, what is. You know, it's just like, let's say you take a pot and you say, oh, it's made of this material and that, and, you know, it has this temperature and this thing and all, so many details we can give of it. Then there's, we're using it in cooking, you know, so in this, you know, so we're using it for Krishna. That's one thing. If we're not using it for Krishna, it's another thing. But what it is, it is what it is. So the soul, so that's why you see one of the first points that's being made in the philosophy is that we're not the body, we're the soul. Because if we understand we're the soul, then we don't have to identify with the gross and subtle body. Therefore, you don't have to identify, I'm this, I'm that, you know, I'm Western, you know, like that, and so many different things that may be, you know, or I'm Indian, or I'm from here or there, or I'm tall, I'm short, I'm this, I'm that, whatever. And so from that platform, then, of course, then we can see is that when they understand who they are, then they understand, you know, they're beyond this. So then if we're beyond this material nature, then what are we supposed to be doing? Because we identify as something that will live forever and that, you know, if things are going good, you say, yeah, this is great. It's like it forever. Things are going bad. Oh, it's forever, you know. So we're always looking for that platform of foreverness or eternalness, right? So, yeah. So when that's there, then that would be the first stage, the first position for understanding. And if that's there, then everything else can develop. That's the first, you know, to help, you have to understand who you are and who you are helping. And how the body can be engaged means if you know who you are, then you can engage the body for uplifting yourself. But if you don't know who you are, then how do you engage the body for uplifting? You're always going to be bound, always going to be conditioned. Does that work?
Yeah, yeah. I just came across this thought because today some devotee shared with me some message from some Hollywood actor or something, some lady, I don't know her by name, but she was like an influencer talking that, oh, this identifying oneself nowadays is so much tiring, let's take it easy, something like that. And I thought, what a delusion is that, that, you know, people living without even knowing their real, even material identification, you know, in terms of, you know, I was surprised.
Yeah.
Such
yeah.
a speculation. Just take it easy on oneself and don't bother yourself with your identification. What a nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah, because means like what you had mentioned, they don't even actually know what their identity is. So let's say we're taking, like you said there, a Hollywood celebrity, right? And I would take it that when we say Hollywood celebrity, we're not talking about the producers, you know, or the technicians or that. We're talking about the actors themselves, right? And so then technically the position is that of a Shudra.
Exactly.
Right? And so Shudra means you're going to be working under other people to accomplish what the other people have an idea to get done. And of course, if those people are good and you're good, you can cooperate, that they want to get something done. They're thinking this way, but you say, no, actually, if we do it like this, it might be better than that. And so many things like that. But the problem comes is they're not understanding that they're just an actor. They're thinking, no, because I'm famous and this, I have to do something and I have to establish and make everything right in the world. And simply by coming up for my, you know, Oscar, and I come up on stage, and instead of thanking everybody and how, you know, feel humbled that you can take part in this and everybody's recognizing, no, you know, we have to save this and do this. Otherwise, we're all nonsense. And it's like, no, that's not your business. As an actor, that's not your business. Because, you know, who wants to watch that? You know, like that. And so then because of the identity politics, then it blows up in their face and nobody cares. Like that, you know, they've been making movies for the last, yeah, like say 2 years, and nobody cares. They're losing money, you know, right, left, and center. And so, you know, it just goes down no matter what you do. Yeah, let's, you know, have a, you know, this or that, and they try it and nobody likes it. Well, let's try this and nobody likes it, because it's all based on this identity politics, right? They're entertainers. So the point is, if someone's not entertained, they don't come and watch you do entertainment. It means if you just said, okay, we're going to have a political rally here, we're going to discuss all kinds of social and economic issues, that then the people who come, then you say what you say, they'll go, wow, that was great. But if you say this is entertainment, and then you talk all that politics and that, then people are going to say no. Just like you go to the store, you want to buy, you know, some stuff to eat. But if it, you go to the store and they're all, oh no, but you know, you have to do this and that. No, I can, your business is to sell me, you know, what I need to cook. Your business is not telling me what to do, right? That's that, you know, you can have your own opinions. That's fine. You're an individual. But it's actually the Brahmas and Kshatriyas that are supposed to be telling you what to do, right? Not the Vaishyas and Shudras.
Not the producers.
Right? Yeah, and so that, yeah, neither the Shudras or the producers, right? Yeah. So then that's the thing, is that they're thinking, no, this is our job. No, it's not. Otherwise, present yourself, I'm a politician, and then present the things that people will like or not based on they like your political presentation. But when you say I'm an entertainer, and then don't entertain, like imagine you have a problem with your sink, you call in the plumber, and instead of fixing your sink, he just sits there and tells you about, you know, all the problems in the world and this and that and how, you know, you have to, it's like, you know, get out of here, you know, what do you mean, you know, like that, you know, it's like, no, you have to use your platform to do good. And though, yeah, doing good means fixing my sink. That's doing good. You know, if I want to hear politics, I can turn on the news, you know. So that's the thing. They don't know who they are. And so when they do this and then it backfires, then they say, oh, we don't have to worry about all this identity, you know, like that, and who we are, because they're fighting over, I'm a man or a woman. Am I, you know, white or not, or I'm this or that? It's all identity politics. And so it's not working for them. They're getting tired. And it's so, you know, because also Shudras tend to lament. And so if things don't go right, then they get really upset. And so, oh, we just don't have to worry about this. But that's the thing is, yes, you don't have to worry about this, but you have to know who you are. Otherwise, then they take up, the philosophy becomes, you know, Buddhistic, or, you know, Mayavadi would probably be a little elevated for them. So Buddhist, yes, may, that they could probably catch. We're nothing. But the thing is that we're Brahman and this and that. That's a little elevated for these people, right? And so then they, all it is they make the trouble. They get the backlash. They feel bad. And now they're telling us, oh, we don't have to worry about these. And no, but you started it. We didn't ask you to be, you know, do all these things. You know, you're an actor. Do your acting stuff. You know? And if you say, oh, that's so mercenary, he says, who's the mercenary? You know? like that? You're getting how many million dollars to do your acting? And then and if you don't get that, are you acting for free? No. So then what's if you want to talk mercenary, who's mercenary? Does that make sense? So the actual only solution is that they understand we're the soul. And so yes, just like you say, you don't have to get involved in all these things. You simply have to identify as the soul. And then, like that other point you made was that therefore, then as an actor, therefore I work in these things. I can say I like these kind of moves or that, work with people that you're comfortable with. But the point is you have to do your best to do your occupation, just like producer has to do his best, and the government does their best, and the teachers do their best. But unless they know they're the soul, and unless they know their relationship with the supreme soul, then it will never work out nicely. Is that okay?
Exactly. As an actors, they change their roles constantly. They play different roles and lose themselves. They just get confused who they are really.
Well, it's kind of like your occupation is being anybody but yourself,
And you are paid millions for that.
Guess it's
Guru Das Prabhu, he has a question.
yes, please, Guruji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. In
Hare
continuation
Krishna.
to this subject matter, could you kindly share your thoughts about the fact that instead of knowledge, the main reference point be more and more becomes popularity? And like when we say, and is there any way to do something to do with that? For instance, but and regarding this actor thing, the president of Ukraine, he was comedian before, and he played and he played a role in a very, very successful sitcom, which was called The Soul of Nation, where he played the president of Ukraine. And yes, and
This is
he
good. I
became,
never knew
yeah,
that. That's true.
and it was comedy. It was comedy, and in that comedy, he played a very powerful, very strong-minded president who very strongly dealt with European Union and everything. But it was comedy, and he became very, very. He was popular, but then he became even more popular. And after that, he started his campaign when where, to get elected, and now he is elected. And but he is just a comedian. And what a mess is for more than 2.5 years around, yeah. And nobody can deal with that. No, there's no solution for that today. Now they are waiting, and because I'm regularly, well, because I'm near from that region, so they discuss from different sides. And Americans said, well, there's no solution. We have to, and Russians say the same, and they are waiting for the new elected American president. But because that president, he is not in his power, Ukraine president officially. It ended 20th of May, his presidency. So then there is EU elections, then there are elections in the States. So everyone is waiting till January, and till that time the war will be going on maximally. So, well, popularity. We
Yeah,
started was
popular.
it started was popularity. And yes, and opinion, this opinion of people, as Maharaj mentioned before, that then there is Hollywood actor who is influential, who is very popular. And people say, oh, if such a popular person says this or that, then we should listen to that. How to deal with that?
Well, because you mentioned started with the point of knowledge. It's not based on knowledge, it's popularity. So you see amongst the when you're dealing with these aspects, the qualities of the Lord, the opulences, then in the Brahminical community, it's knowledge. The knowledge is the thing that is the, you could say, the what would you say? The point of value. The better the knowledge, the more value it is, like this. Amongst the Kshatriyas, then it's going to be influence. Among the Vaishyas, it's going to be money. And amongst the Shudras, it's going to be fame or popularity. Like that. So as you've mentioned about, popularity is the prominent thing. That's because everything's dropped down to the level of Shudra. And so that's why that's the thing. If he's popular, then everybody's great. And if he's not popular, it's not. That's how, like you said, how a actor, that's so, how you say, rich, that he was playing the part of the president. And then it was done so well that people liked that then he could go from, all he has to do is talk like he did in the show and people will be happy, right? So the point is that you have to, again, you go back to is that, okay, popularity, even on all these things, what holds it together? Because one can say is, oh, but then there's, these four different things and they're always fighting with each other and all that. And, or through the medium, like vices, through money, try to get the popularity and get the influence and then control the knowledge. Like that, and then the what do you call it? Kshatriyas, then through their influence, then they try to get the money and everything. So each one is trying to control, but through that one medium. So then you have, as the point is that these are Krishna's opulences. So Krishna is the most knowledgeable. He's the most influential. He's the most wealthy. He's the most popular. Means people. It means wherever you go in the world, people have heard of it, some people everywhere, but not necessarily, everybody. But anywhere you go, you talk about God, everybody has some conception or things like, so he's the most famous, actually. So the aspect is that, okay, this guy's famous and this and that, and so, but who's the most famous? It's God. But because all of this belongs to him, he knows how to control it. You can say, how can we have faith in God? It says, look at the nature. How nicely does a forest, run when people don't get involved and put their own idea on it? It works very nicely. And so one can see is that God knows how to balance all these four. So that's the point of the Vedic system. They have a balance. Knowledge is there, but you don't run things. You run things, but it's to protect the people, not for your own advantage. So you don't control the knowledge, you don't control the money. You may regulate things to make sure that they go in a balanced way, but it's not that the money's yours. No, it belongs to the individuals that are producing it. Right? And like that. And the popularity, that's all right, as long as the popularity is based on something that can uplift the consciousness of the people. If the popularity is based on something that can degrade the people, then that's not allowed, not in a general public. Because before you didn't have all this media and this and that. And so, yes, if some people wanted to be crazy and all this, they can live out in the forest and be as crazy as they like, and who cares? And they just don't bother the people in the villages and towns and cities. So so that kind of aspect, it should be appreciated, is that yes, everybody has their place, but you have to know is that what you're doing is not good for everybody, because otherwise each one thinks that what they're doing is good for everybody, but only doing something connected with Krishna and the living entity, then that's good for everybody. Otherwise, if it's not connected with the soul and to the supreme soul, then it's not good for everybody. It's the only thing that's good for everybody. Otherwise, you have these artists and they what they're into, then they say everybody should hear, and then they say, oh, it's freedom of speech and all this and that. Yes, but at the same time, as you have to be cultured enough that you can say these things, but you have to know when and where to say it. It's just like, let's say you have a room full of adults, right? The parents. And then while they're talking and all that, one of the kids walks into the room. The parents will immediately switch into vocabulary that the child won't know what they're talking about. And so when the child leaves, they may continue like that. or they may be more explicit on what they're talking about. You know, so that's the thing is, so yes, it may be freedom of speech, but you have to know what you speak where, you know, and to who. You can't just speak whatever you like anywhere and say that that's all right. You know, otherwise, then yes, they're having their concert and they're singing their song and all the people are there. But since it's freedom of speech, what if I come there and I have some speakers at the other end and I start, you know, doing something else right during their concert? It's freedom of speech. But they'll say it's the wrong place. We're having a concert here. You can't, you know, talk about something else there. And so then it's the same thing, is that the society is going on. It has its standards, what it's doing. You can't speak all these things for the general public. You speak it to the people who want to hear it. So that's the whole point, is there needs to be, there's always regulation and balance between these four. Then it works nicely. And the only way to know how to regulate it is Krishna, because these four are the four parts of his body, right? The head, the arms, the waist, and the feet. And so you have to know what goes where and what does what. And so knowing that, then you can balance it. Then it works. And so like this, it's out of, you know, kilter, like that. So yeah, he seems to be more of an actor. He had a similar thing, not though that they had that he was doing the he was playing the president, but I think it was Ronald Reagan. I think it was Reagan. He was an actor in California, you know, quite popular. You know, I think he was a B actor. He wasn't an A-list. But then when he ran, you know, then he got, or also Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? You know, the muscle guy, and he also was doing acting. And then, you know, so he ran for governor and became the governor of California. Same with Reagan. He was the governor of California. And then from there, he went for president. Schwarzenegger, if he had was born in American territory or born as an American citizen, then he probably could have run as president and probably done quite well. You know, because the thing is, people go by that external, right? You know, he's big, he's solid, he's a nice guy. So yeah, he'll be a good president, you know, or the other guy was acting in those roles that, oh yeah, he'll be a great president. But actually, no, you have to know the you know, a slightly different group of skills like that. But yeah, it's that's the problem with populists. That was Socrates's anxiety about democracy, is you just have people that can speak good and the general populace don't really know. So if you can speak nicely, then they think, oh yeah, this sounds good. And then you get elected and you may not actually be a good leader. So he was not so confident that, you know, his point is, let's say you have a group of people that each one could run the country very nicely. Now it's just a matter of voting for which one you want. You know, then that's all right. But if you have three guys that don't know how to run the country and they just speak good and then they get elected, then everything's not going to work well.
Maharaj, but this aspect that politicians, and from my limited perspective, even GBC in ISKCON, are looking for popular opinion and are adjusting. Politicians very, very much are adjusting their approach to opinion of that moment of population. And that's another aspect of popularity. And did I understand correctly from you that this it doesn't matter what's going on, what you said, that reference point is Krishna and we should arrange our lives based on that, even if the world goes crazy, and even if even if it happens with GBC as well.
Yes, because the point is it always has been and always will be Krishna's world. So if you're keeping Krishna as the center and working, everything goes fine. Like, how crazy was Prahlad Maharaj's world?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But because he was centered on Krishna, everything went very nicely. You know, same with the Pandavas. I mean, that what they went through is like, who goes through that much? That's the point of taking these stories. Can anyone say that he has 100 cousins, 100 relatives against him, right? You can say, yeah, my brother doesn't like me, or this one doesn't like me, or three or four people don't. Anyone can say that they have 100 cousin brothers that don't like, and then throw on top of that, you have, Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, and then his people, and this and that, so no one has, this kind of thing. So the intensity of all these then make it that, no one can say is that it's different. Okay, you say surrender to Krishna, just keep, but my situation is so bad, I can't. But no one has a worse situation than the Pandavas. So if they can do it, why can't we? They're setting example. They're showing, yes, it can be done and it works. So that's the point there. But yes, this thing of populists, that's useless, because as Prabhupada said, if a million people say a lie is the truth, it doesn't make it the truth. But that was the philosophy that the Ionians, that one group of Greeks introduced, was that truth is relative. Whatever the mass of people say is truth, that's truth. It's not that there's, and that's why they didn't like Socrates. Socrates says there's an absolute truth. We have to adjust our lives with that absolute truth. But then those who have taken up this other philosophy, this relativity, then it's a matter of, no, it's that we all say this is true. You have to adjust to that. So in other words, there's an idea that, yes, everyone has to adjust to the truth. But it's not that there's an absolute that everyone can relate to. No, it's whatever we have power, we say is truth, you have to adjust to that. So it's just another example how to try to be God. Not that, because we're here because we want to be God. It's just generally we can only be really small God, I am the Lord of this bowl of breakfast cereal. Just see how I, managed to pick up a spoonful and I put it in my mouth and I eat it. I am the Lord of this breakfast table, like that kind of thing. But some people get more, their karma, they can do more, but it doesn't make it any more the truth. So just because you have more, the people don't like it. It's just since they started doing that as a major aspect, in the mid 80s, then, everything just goes farther and farther away from what it should be, But you see is that those individuals who follow what it should be, then things work out. Maybe externally it goes very nicely and it work and people appreciate and things expand, or it's not going externally so nicely because of the environment, but they themselves personally are able to be Krishna conscious and everything goes well. So that's the beauty, is that Krishna is in the heart. He's in every atom, in between every atom. So despite whatever's going on in the world, he still is the controller. And if you surrender to him, then you will progress in Krishna consciousness. Because perfection in the material world doesn't exist. Perfection is connecting what you have to Krishna, what you're doing to Krishna, that's perfection. But on the material platform, you can't make anything perfect. And that's the problem with the populist. They're thinking, if we do this, then everything will be perfect. Everyone will be happy. No, it'll never happen. You can never make, what is it? I think it came out, I'm not sure when it came out, but sometime in the early 1900s, it was a phrase that was, you can please some of the people all the time, and all the people some of the time, but you can never please all the people all the time. I don't know, have you heard this one?
Yeah.
So that's the point, is that they're thinking they're going to please everyone all the time. It doesn't exist. Even the karmis figured this out 100 years ago, And that's just, it became popular. I'm sure it was already being spoken, for the last some, you check probably amongst the Greeks, somebody said that, So that's the thing, is that it's an illusion that if I please the public, it will make things go well, because the public is pleased from moment to moment. Something they like today, tomorrow they won't like. It just changes like the wind. So why, you should go for what's actual truth, what's actual. So that's the point. Brahmins can do that. Kshatriyas can do that. Vaishyas will go with whichever way it will make money, like you see in the West, that they got the idea that, oh, if we do all these more progressive and liberal things, the people will like that because it's becoming popular, right? Seemingly. And so therefore, then if we do that, we'll get more money. But what they found out is that no, 1% of the population is saying all these things and making presenting that it's for everybody, but the rest of the people don't really care. And so then they find that business-wise, things just go down. You know, they have their, I think now they have that term, they're having a, you know, a Budweiser, you know, moment or Budweiser, you know, kind of effect, that it just, they get destroyed because they don't know who they're dealing with. They don't know who they're, you know what I'm saying? It's just like the people who are drinking the drink weren't these you know, so-called progressive people. They were just ordinary people. And so because they went with that group that they thought, okay, well, this is, you know, would take things forward, you know, and be populist kind of thing. Then the other people that actually are, then they stop drinking. Or you're watching the thing, it's what do you call it, you know, like these entertainment and, you know, things like that. They're doing something that's for family entertainment that the parents and the kids can all watch it together. And they're making content that only adults, and even amongst adults, only certain adults would appreciate. And then everything goes down. They're wondering why, you know? So that's the thing, is that if you keep Krishna as the center, that's the one thing everybody can get around. Right. And you see, as you look at where things are more successful, you know, in a sustainable way, that it becomes a traditional thing and can be maintained, then that's because it's closer to the standards that Krishna sets. You know, like your traditional families and how they deal and this and that and how you do business and all those kind of things that so many places, you know, they've been doing for hundreds of years, thousands of years. That's because it's sustainable, because that's how Krishna says it's supposed to be done, right? They're not knowing it's Krishna. They're not knowing it's his laws. That's why they get distracted from it. If they know it's his laws, then it makes it easier to stay on that. But unless there's cultivation of God consciousness and trying to elevate the consciousness to the transcendental position, then you can't actually, it makes it hard to maintain. And so that's why they lose it. These things were established in God consciousness, then people go along with it, it works, but with time people always want change because nothing really satisfies them. So they think if anything's wrong, it's someone else's fault. So they'll look at the tradition and say, it's because of this. If I don't follow it, then I'll be happy. But then it just becomes completely miserable, because at least, okay, the material world isn't great, but at least, you know, you can walk down the street and no one's going to try to, you know, hit you, kill you, steal your stuff, or do this and that, you know, because of being some semblance of God consciousness. And so then at least it's a more peaceful environment. It's better for Krishna consciousness. But then you have this environment, everyone's doing anything and there is no standards, then no one can be peaceful. Even the people that claim that, oh, this is going to be nice. No, it's not going to be nice. So that's the thing, is that the illusion that I'm not happy because it's someone else's fault. You're not happy because you're in the material world. In the material world, you'll never be happy. It's just, it will never happen. You get your moments here and there, but let's say you live a whole life, 100 years. How many moments in that 100 years, you know, you can say is, yeah, you know, those are the, you know, the best moments, you know, and those had real meaning. But that experience, that moment, the moment's 11th of a second, you hold on to it and keep thinking about it. But the effect itself was one moment. Add that all together. How many seconds do you get out of 100 years? We're only talking seconds here. You know, if someone got a full second of, I have 11 outstanding moments that were like really significant and inspiring for them, they're doing pretty good. And if they have 2 or 3 seconds, wow, you know, it's like, wow. Pious people, you know, but it's like that's what you get out of 100 years. And then foolishly people think, you know, all everything in between, that's someone else's problem, we have to change it. It's the material world. You can't change that. You can change how you deal with it, but you can't change the material world.
Raghunath came there. He has problem with the connection because he's traveling. So now he's on the line. So he has had the question there.
Thank
Oh,
you,
okay.
Maharaj.
Okay,
Thank
thank
you.
you, Jai, 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 Jai. Jai Raghunath ji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this
Hare
acceptable
Baba.
topic. Hare Krishna. I want
Hare
to a
Krishna.
little connect with this popularity that I was thinking that Prabhupada was pure devotee, and when he started a movement, he was immediately popular. Then I think that if devotees will really follow the Prabhupada standards and try to reach Krishna consciousness, we can be most popular people in the world,
No, that's a very good point. Because Krishna is the most popular, so if we do Krishna's stuff to please Krishna, if he's pleased, everyone else is pleased. And so that's a very good point. Just do what Prabhupada did and look what he did. And the fun part is like, it was brought up is that, so many people in leadership and all that is, were they not attracted by Prabhupada? And it was, he was doing what he did. He didn't change his lifestyle and this and that. He just did, just practical, simple, straightforward Krishna consciousness. They were attracted. They gave up all this progressive mentality. There's a good chance most all of them were from a progressive background. Or progressive, at least thought, background meaning what they were into and doing, what their parents were or not, is another thing. But they were doing, and even though they had that progressive, they gave that up to serve Prabhupada. And then if you reduce the importance of what Prabhupada did and then rekindle that progressive mentality, it didn't work for you back in the 60s and say it won't work for you now. It's what the hippies were talking about was nothing new. People have been talking about these things for, the Greeks were talking about it thousands of years ago. It's not new. You had Diogenes living in a barrel with nothing, so yeah. Prabhupada said hippies meant crazy. If he gives examples showing that if you allow your material desires to overwhelm you, you get so much, you go crazy. And then he would liken that to the hippies. So going back to that hippie mentality, of 50 years ago, why will that make if it didn't work then and they were crazy, why would it make anything better now? In other words, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not that, okay, I tried to light the matches underwater. It didn't work, but now I wait 50 years. And then I say, now it'll work. No, it'll never work. It's God's law. So, like you said there, if you Prabhupada is immediately popular because he represents Krishna, and Krishna is the most popular. And so therefore, the devotees then by nature, because Krishna likes to give the credit to the devotees. And so then if you just do that, then it's popular. I mean, not that one's looking for popularity, but point that just comes on its own. That these things just there. You serve Krishna, then all good fortune and everything is always surrounds. But you are in the material world, so sometimes you see it manifest more and sometimes less. It's just that's what it is. The material world is never, there is no perfect situation. You can't create it. It's designed that it won't get there. It's like planned obsolescence. You build something that it will fall apart in X amount of time. It'll never, so material, no matter how close you get it, just before you get there, it will disappear. So you can never get it. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj, it's okay. I'm just thinking, because yesterday I had one phone call, and one very, very old Bhakta, he was coming to temple something like 25 years ago, and he was
Oh,
calling
wow.
me after many years, and he explained me some 1 hour he was speaking like mad, that I was trying my best to be rich, to be happy, to do many things in the world. And now I understand that the only happy happy moments in my life was when I was like a devotee in the temple.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. But that's the point, at least if one hasn't figured it out earlier, like Prahlad Maharaj, right? Then the idea is when you get older, then you have time to actually think about that because you have a wide range of experience. And if you're thoughtful, you can start to compare and then you start to see, yeah, like that. The best years of one's life was when we were at the temple, like that, you know, or with the devotees or, you know, doing something Krishna conscious. That's the best time. And so that's very nice. That Krishna is very kind, very good realization. But, it's 25 years. You can say that's a long time, but 25 years in comparison to eternity, that he got that realization, that's the important thing. Even if it took 25 years that you have it, who cares? You know, somebody becomes a billionaire after 5 minutes and someone after 50 years, who cares? You became a billionaire. So if you have the realization, then that's perfect. That's why, you know, the Bhagavatam gives you one lifetime to work it out. It doesn't say, well, you have the next 30 seconds, otherwise that's it, no chance. You have one lifetime, you can work it out. And then, you know, consolation prize, even if you don't work it out, however far you got in this lifetime, next lifetime, you'll take up from there. You don't have to start from zero. The Brahma said, if you got to 50%, next life, you'll start at 51. You know, so it's a perfect system. It's this because it's Krishna, so it's always going to be perfect. We just have to come to realize and appreciate that because it comes from Krishna, it's perfect. Otherwise, we tend to think, you know, that there's some other metric by which we can judge perfection, but only how much is connected to Krishna, that's what makes it perfect, and that much it's not connected, that's what makes it imperfect.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so then, 1 o'clock, we go to another half an hour, yes. Oh, Mataji.
I would like to ask from the Bhagavatam purport that in these pastimes of creation and maintenance and destruction, how does the Lord taste rasa? Because he's always rasa. How does he...
Because you're dealing with the, it means you have the, well, it means, yeah. There's going to be the aspect of him as Bhagavan. He's come to take care of the living entities. Right? Mm-hmm. It means these are his living entities, and they've somehow or another gotten distracted from Krishna consciousness. They've come here. And so then Krishna arranges that they can come here, and then they can have that field of a fruit of action. They can try to work and get the results because they're trying to copy Krishna and trying to become, you know, enjoy in the same kind of ways by interacting with others, but just they somehow Krishna gets left out of the equation. So he's coming to take care of the living entities. And so then that aspect of the living entity coming closer to him and becoming Krishna conscious, then that's going to be, you know, very much please Krishna, and then they can come back to their original position. And then you have that, since he is Sat, he is Chit, he is Ananda, because we talked about the Ananda part, that's a Rasa part. But he is also the existence of things, right? So as Brahman, and as Chit, then as Paramatma, how everything's organized and controlled and created, you know, expanded and in the mechanics of that, then there's going to be something there. But we can understand is that the taste that's there in it is not as much as it's going to be in dynamic devotional exchange. You know, it's just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it talks about how Krishna is one. And in that position, he's perfect and he's happy. He's Atmarama, he's self-satisfied. But by expanding his energies and interacting on the platform of devotion, then the happiness is increased, right? That's the point that's made there, and is that when he expands, so Atmarama is already giving him taste, So just that he's creating, maintaining, destroying, it already has a taste because it's him. It's working according to his laws and everything like that. So it has taste, but it's not going to have as much taste as when he comes as his, you know, avatars and performs pastimes with the devotees and, you know, these kind of aspects.
Yes. Thank you.
Is that okay? Okay.
My wife has one question, is possible, Maharaj?
Yes, why not?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Jai, August.
Yeah, we were talking before that about this identifying that the soul is in the material world and just identifying like watching a movie. So I read many places Prabhupada saying that actually we have nothing to do with this world. But then when I discuss this with other devotees, then they're not so black and white understanding like myself, that we really don't have anything to do with this material world. So I would just like to get some help to maybe find some nuances, or which I don't understand where they are.
Okay.
Thank you.
It means it's a matter of the clarity. Mm-hmm. It's just that if one's convinced, you have the Dridha Shraddha, that the material world has nothing to offer. So that means karma and jnana have nothing to offer the jiva, the living entity. Only devotional service, there is something for the living entity. But if we're still confused that there's something here that's important, then that clarity won't be there, because we're thinking, no, but if I'm a good person, then I can be a nice devotee, or if I get facility, then I can be a nice devotee, or, you know, if, like this and that, or people stop bothering me, then I can be a nice devotee, or something else other than, so something in the field of karma, jnana, or yes, no, but if I have more knowledge, then I can be. So whatever it is, it's only bhakti, only chanting the holy name, and the process that, you know, that Lord Chaitanya gave with chanting the holy name, you know, the eight verses, the Shikshastakam. So only that is going to make you be work. That's there. Then within that, you can say, no, but, you know, we have to do our duty. We're not fanatic and this and that. Says, who's we? You know, what do you mean, we? Who's this we you're talking about? Because they're talking, we don't, you know, they're talking like everybody. No, they're talking about themselves. And who is the self? Are they the body? Are they the mind? Are they intelligent? The ego? No. But they're identifying with it. And because of that, they think, no, I have to do this. I'm a family person. I have to do my job. I have to do this and that, because that's important, you know. And just because we're a devotee doesn't mean we don't do that. We're not fanatics. But the point is, where did the concept of family come from? Right? Let's just look at it. You know, family. Okay. Which civilization invented family? When in the history was the concept of family created? There is no answer, because it was always there. What about this concept of marriage? Who came up with this idea? You know, was it the Chinese? Was it the American Indians? You know, was it the Neanderthal, you know, like that? No, it was always there. You know, then what about economics? The idea that, you know, you can trade things and, you know, something you have more of, and you want something that you have less of, and you can trade it with some. Where did that, who invented that? No one. It was always there, you know? Like that, the sense of communities, the sense of this, that, all that, whatever there is that people run on that they don't even think about, that was created by Krishna. Within that, then they have their own little thing, my community, my family, my way, like this. So that's the point, is that when they say, oh, we have to do that, the point is that there is occupational duties that's created by Krishna. And so you're doing your occupational duty not connected to Krishna, though he's the creator of it. And he's the one that in Gita says, do your duty. But we're not doing our duty because Krishna said, we're doing a duty because society says that, you know, that, oh, you have to do this and that and all. You know, no, we're doing it because Krishna said. So that's the thing, is that it's not understood as, if we do with that, we give up everything for Krishna, we'll be doing nothing, and then we'll have this, and what'll happen to my family, and what'll happen? It's just, who said that? You're saying that, because you're saying, if I give up the modern social, economic concepts, then there'll be nothing. It's void after that. There is nothing else other than that in the world. It's just like if you took America and it right now just disappeared, it didn't exist, right? Like that, the world would just go on. The vegetables would still grow. The sun's still out. The wind's still blowing. You still go down to the same market and get the same potatoes. Nothing would change in your life. Of course, unless you were in America, then of course, if you're not there anymore, then that's another thing. But we're just talking about, we're using a more broader world thing. So the whole thing is everything just goes on. So they're thinking, no, but if I don't do it, the whole world, everything stops. No, the point is that all we're doing is changing from being Krishna conscious. And know that Krishna said, do your work. Krishna said, this is how husband and wife interact. Krishna said, this is how parents and children act. Krishna said, this is how families and other families and communities act. This is how the nation acts. This is how knowledge acts, and Brahmins and teachers. This is what goes on. And so therefore I do this because he said, but they're doing it because who knows why, whatever it is, they have their concept. Social economic concept, why they should do it. That's why they're doing that. They're not doing it because Krishna said. That's the thing, is we reject Varnashram as mundane, but we accept as our life and soul whatever goes on in modern society. So whatever is the modern, political correctness becomes that we reject Varnashram and accept political correctness as our religion. Then how is that somehow or another now? That's Yukta Vairagya. How? Varnashram is not. Varnashram is a scientifically structured and proper thing of balance on how you put all these things that you value, your knowledge, your influence, your money, your social standing, all that. That's how you balance it. Otherwise, without it, there's no question of doing it, as you can see, right? So that's the thing, is you had go back, it was temples against the community. Now it's community against the temples. So where have they balanced it? How have they corrected the problem? Right? There isn't. At least before, you had a sense of community in the temple. But is there a sense of community in the community? Who's creating it? Who's doing it? Who's leading it? So therefore, is that no? It's you can't replace Krishna's the direct form, of Sad Dharma, and then the secondary form of the Daiva Varnashram, and then replace Daiva Varnashram with some tertiary quaternity kind of aspects of some quasi social construct, and then say now everything's going wonderful. This is Yukta Vairagya, when there's no Yukta and there's no Vairagya. Yukta means it's Krishna. If it's you're doing your duties because Krishna said. And Vairagya means you're doing it because Krishna said, and you're not doing it for the attachment to the results you get. And if you're attached to the results, then that's not the Yukta Vairagya. Just by definition. That's like if I say a potato sabji, right? Or let's say you have potato salad. Sometimes in the summer, you take potatoes, you boil them, then they put them with like mayonnaise or something, and that mix them up and put some like dill or some herbs on it and eat it in the summer, cold. Yeah. Something like that. No. Yes. So, if I say, okay, this is a potato salad, right? But cooked radishes. Then can I say it's a potato salad? No, so that's the whole point, is that you say is that, this is Yukta Vairagya, but the point is where's the Yukta? Means connected to Krishna. And explain it. Tell the philosophy how it's connected. It's not like a rocket science. And Vairagya means you're not attached to the results. That's the two words in there. Yukta, connected to Krishna, And Vairagya, you're not attached to the results in the way of karma and jnana. It's for Krishna, it's not for me. That's Yukta Vairagya. You know? So that's the point, is that one has to see, is that, you know, you have these aspects. And so why? So that's the whole point, is that we're the soul, so we're not these things. We have a gross and subtle body. Yes, you have to work with it. Just like, you know, that's the things. Oh, if I'm not this body, now I can do anything. Or if I'm not the body, then nothing matters at all. No, it's just like we're not the car, but the car is still a car. Does car stop? It doesn't change. Just because we say we're not the body doesn't mean that the position of husband and wife, parents, children, you know, family, community, money, you know, all these things change. The mechanics are given by Krishna. Krishna is money, you know, economics. Krishna is social structure. Krishna is knowledge. It's not coming from somewhere else. Is the government creating the concept of economics? If they are, why is it that the government that's controlling me, you make it, you can say the government does, but why is it that their money's not worth the most? No, the market goes up and down and their money goes up and down. They're not in control. Economics is in control. People know how to play with it. They have some, like someone knows how to use a car, but that doesn't mean that they are the car or the principle of vehicle they've created. No, they know how to work with it. So the Vedic system is the best way to work with it. You know, otherwise you can observe something for long enough and pick up a few ideas. That's what they're doing around the world. But the Vedic is, it's already right there. But it has to be about Krishna. Krishna has to be the center. And then the whole thing works very nicely. Otherwise, then they're going to get, you know, distracted by, you know, that, you know, you have to do this. Yes, okay, that's fine. But who said you have to do it? You're saying you have to do it. Why, what happened to Bhagavad Gita? Krishna telling Arjuna, do your duty without attachment, in knowledge for me. What happened to those four? Oh, I have to do this. Okay, nice. What about these other aspects? You know, and you're saying it's by your authority I have to do this, but why not by Krishna's authority you have to do this? That's why someone's a householder. We don't say he has to renounce everything and move in the temple. No, the householder that continues a householder. That's what Krishna says. So Krishna says, so why is it we're the authority on these things? We're the authority on our life. We're not the authority. Krishna's the authority. And how do we know what Krishna says? Then that's how we approach the acharyas, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Does that work?
Yes, Maharaj, thank you very much. I think, is it right to think I have nothing to do with this world because I am.
We don't. But the soul has nothing to do with this world. Mm-hmm. But not understanding that the soul has come here. Right? Mm-hmm. And so the soul having nothing to do with this world, then what do they have to do with? So they as the soul are part and parcel of Krishna, so that they are the natural, their position as part and parcel is to serve the whole. So to serve the whole means they as Brahman serve the whole Brahman. That's their duty. So since this material world is also part of Krishna's kingdom, it may be the inferior part of the kingdom, but it's the kingdom. Then we should use this world to serve Krishna. We have nothing to do with this world. I mean, it's not for us. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that thinking, they're thinking, and means one has to give up thinking in terms of karma and jnana. That karma is, I'm doing things, therefore it's mine. Or if it's not mine, why I should be doing it, so I do nothing. That's karma, that's jnana.
Yeah.
But the point is no, you do something, but not for yourself, for Krishna. That's why it's so difficult to understand, because we know karma, we know jnana. I'm going to get benefit, I do it. I'm not going to get benefit, I don't do it. Right? Material world's a terrible place, so why should I deal? So I do nothing, and I'll go for liberation. Or, yeah, no, the place is great. I can work hard and make so much, you know, facility and enjoy myself. So I work. But we're saying, work for Krishna,
which
takes the action that's there and results, you know, that's there in karma with the detachment that's there, you know, knowledge in jnana. But it's not based on that, because that combination you'd never do. Right? I'm not going to do the work without getting the result. And since I don't get the result, I don't work. We're taking the opposite. I'm doing the work and not getting the result. Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why it doesn't make sense to the materialistic consciousness. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point, is that because the soul isn't from here, the soul is not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
But we can engage this world, since it's Krishna's world, it works on Krishna's laws. That's the thing we're thinking, oh, it's not, you know, it's like, it's material and this and that. That's only because we don't see it as Krishna's. When we see it as Krishna's, then you can work with it. But it still doesn't mean I work with it, now the results are mine. No, the results are always still Krishna's. And we can say, oh, but then, you know, it's so much work and what do I get? Point is if you serve the whole, then the part is taken care of. Like Prabhupada gives the example of the hand. It puts food in the mouth, the hand stays healthy. But if the food decides not to put it in the mouth and just keeps the food in itself and smears it around, it's going to become unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the point. You pour water on the root, the whole tree. You don't have to water each leaf and stuff like that.
Could one say that the pleasure for the soul is actually the service itself and not really the result?
Yes. It's just like, let us say, you know, take for an example. If you look at it, when is anybody in a position that they appreciate and everybody else appreciates? Right? It's when they're serving. The parents are serving the children. They will consider that the best, you know, the best experience. When the children do something to serve the parents, that will give the best experience. You know, when the citizens are serving the state's serving the citizens, teacher serves the students, you know, by teaching them, you know, the students, you know, then reciprocate by learning and trying to follow the process of education, you know, serving what, you know, the teacher said as the process, then that's when everything works. Mm-hmm. And you see is where's the complaints come when people aren't serving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mom is just caring about herself, you know, she, you know, is worried about how she looks and that, and spending time at the gym, never spending any time with the family, you know, the kids, and that's where the criticism comes. Oh no, but what about herself? You know, you know, can't just, you know, just sacrifice for everyone and not for yourself. No, but it's only when you sacrifice that anybody gets anything out of it.
Mm.
Right? It's just like here, you know, okay, the man, he was on the battlefield, you know, and there was things going down, and it was a really tough time, a very intense battle, you know, and he thought, you know, well, you know, I got to save myself. I got to consider myself here. And so therefore, then he ran off from the battle and all that. And he made it back to the, you know, base and all that. And then the commander says, okay, where's everybody else? I don't know. I just came back myself. Is he getting a medal?
No.
No. It's the guy who's out there and he sees and he sacrifices and takes risks and that and does something completely crazy. He gets the medal.
Yeah.
So you get a medal for service. No one gets a medal for not doing service.
Mm.
You know, so that's the whole thing. Is that that's why we're saying now, as we go back to the original point, the question that came up is, you know, these, what do you call it? Celebrities saying these things, when they really go in and try to do their acting and do their best at it without any desire for results, they just do just pure acting, then that's when they get an award. And so then to use that moment for some you know, self-centered or politicized thing, that's not good. They expect humility, right? The guy gets the medal. He goes up, you know, and that, you know, the commander is giving the medal and all the other people are there. And if you expect him to come up and say, yes, it's my honor. I got to do this thing. It's not me. It's about, you know, everybody, and everybody does their part, and everyone will go, yeah, yes, yes. But he goes up to, yeah, yeah, I'm so fabulous. I just do whatever I want. No one will appreciate. No one will talk to the guy again.
Mm.
So we have to understand the soul's nature is service. And if they don't do service, like he says, oh, but I gotta do my job. Why is he doing the job? Job gives money. What does he need money for? Taking care of the family. So it's service. So that's the whole point, is he's serving, but he's not serving Krishna. Then who's he serving? Right? So that comes down to whoever he's serving, it's temporary. It's not going to last. Yes, while you're in this body, you're working with various people like the family and this and that, you do, but you're all trying to become Krishna conscious. If you're just serving the family, he says you're going to die, they're going to die. Even you do your best to serve, doesn't mean that they're going to be happy or everything's going to work out. You know, that's just the way it is. It's the material world. But you're trying to serve because Krishna said you're supposed to do, and then you see everyone as living entities of Krishna, and therefore then you have that mood of camaraderie to work together on anything, or that mood of friendship, you know, that's there. And so then everyone has a nice experience. That's the point. It's that service gives value to the living entity. Service gives those moments of, you know, something happened. You know, so that's the point, is that it's serving. That's the actual inherent nature of the jiva, is to serve. And if they serve, then that's the whole point, you know. You like the actor because they do their acting. And as soon as they stop doing acting and get political, then that's when you stop liking them. Mm. You know, if it's in between movies where they really did some nice acting, okay, then, you know, you don't mind. But if all he does is that and he doesn't do good acting anymore, who cares? You know, business community creates economic growth and volume and everything like that. It's great. But if they just simply exploit, take all the money and everybody else ends up poor, then no one's going to see they did a good job. Government, you know, serves and all the facilities are there for the people. They're protected and all this. They can safely, you know, run, you know, a life of, you know, whatever it is, appropriate prosperity, then they'll say it's a good government. If the government just controls them and takes everything and they have nothing, no one will say it's a good government. Right? So that's the point, is that it's service that makes it good. You know, the teacher's trying to teach the students. That's the thing. If the teacher is just there to, you know, people appreciate, he likes to talk and have everybody listen, no, nobody cares. So that's the point, is it's service. That's the inherent nature of the jiva, is service. Service to Krishna. That means they're spiritual, so they serve the supreme spiritual. They're part and parcel of Krishna, therefore they serve Krishna. Does that work?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
It means there's nothing else. You can say that there's this and that, and then, okay. You're saying that now, then after some time, then when your kids grow up, then what will you do? Now, okay, kids are small, you haven't, but then they grow up, then what? Now what do you do with the money? Right? Now what do you do with the time? You know, so that's the whole point, is you're spending all day doing all this work and this and that, getting all this money, but there's no family there. So how much do two older people need, right? They don't eat so much. They don't want to eat. They've already tried eating everything on the planet that they could think of. And they figured out of all that, only a few things are nice to eat. And so they'd rather just eat that, right? So that's what they figured out. They figured out, I don't need all this. I don't need all these things that are there, you know, because otherwise, according, you see some family guys have got, you know, 20 cars, 100 cars like that, but you don't need. How many of them do they drive out of that 100 cars? Two or three. And actually, which one do they have one they like the best? So you figure out. That's what you, so what do you do with all that? So then, and now, what do you do with that time that's saved? Now what? just find something else to do? Or are you supposed to be more Krishna conscious? In other words, if you're already Krishna conscious, you know, trying to, whenever you have time free, work in Krishna consciousness. When you're not at work, you're not taking, you know, care of this or that, then you're trying to be Krishna conscious. Then naturally, as you have less to do, then you'll use that time to be Krishna conscious. It's just natural. So that's why the Vedic system is so perfect. You have nothing to do. Like kids have nothing to do. All they do is play all day. So they can start to learn to be educated. So if you're educated in God consciousness, then that's perfect. Then they get married. Then they add, you know, occupational duties and all these things. And so, but they still continue their Krishna consciousness. So the volume of direct activities becomes less, but it doesn't mean in their consciousness they can't be always thinking about Krishna. But at least externally, it's less than it was before as a student. Then as they get older and the kids have grown up and all that, they're on their own, then now again it's less to do with the external. So naturally you increase the external aspects of Krishna consciousness. So it's a perfect system. And it's given by Krishna, not by anybody else. Right?
Yes, Maharaj. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yes, very much. This connection point, I think that is what changes everything.
The connection point means?
Yeah, because everybody is serving, but
yes.
Krishna.
Okay, so, yes, yes. Yeah.
Changing the whole perspective.
Yeah. That's all that we're trying to do is just change the consciousness.
Mm.
You know, we're not the International Society for, you know, how we can make, American corporate business, bureaucratic, centralized autocracy, you know, like that. No, it's how to be a perfect family man, you know, and do my duties nicely and everything and be happy. Consciousness. No, it's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. All you have to do is add Krishna consciousness,
mm-hmm.
right? That famous point made by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The only thing lacking in this material world is Krishna consciousness. Everything else is tons of it. Maybe an individual doesn't have, but you know, there's plenty. You know, so that's the point. So then, that's all we have to do is add Krishna. You add Krishna, just like you cooked you made your potato salad. Now what's next to do? Offer it to Krishna.
Oh.
Right?
No. Yeah.
Otherwise, if that's too complicated, you just take some nice little potatoes, put them in a pot, boil them. When they're nice and soft, drain the water, put them in a, you know, put them on the plate, pour a bunch of melted butter on top, salt, pepper, you know, offer it to Krishna, Hari Bol.
Perfection.
Perfect. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any other questions? I think I'm not sure now. How is the time?
11. I think we are supposed to end.
Yeah, no, we've reached. Okay, sorry.
Natural end.
We have reached this particular point in unlimited time where this particular form of remembrance of Krishna might, not become unmanifest, and other aspects of our continuing Krishna consciousness will therefore then take the prominent position.
Mm.
Yeah. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.